2006, attorneys are below the overall average BVA allowance rate for all appeals, including those with no representation, of 21.6%. DAV's appellate counsels filed 374 notice of appeals with the Court of Veterans Appeals between May 05 and April 06. During this period, the court disposed of 433 appeals filed by DAV. Of these, 291 appeals were reversed, vacated, or favorably settled. There were joint motions for remands in 126 appeals, and only 16 appeals were affirmed by the court. Several years ago, DAV undertook two additional initiatives to enhance and expand benefits counseling and claims representation services to the veterans community. The first of the two programs involve outreach to members of the armed services at locations and times of their separation from active duty. The second involves services to veterans in the communities where they live. I am very proud of what DAV stands for and what we have accomplished in our 86-year history. I thank you for this opportunity to submit our views on this important issue, and I'd be happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ortner.
Chairman Miller, Ranking Member Berkeley, and members of the subcommittee, on behalf of Paralyzed Veterans of America, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify today on the role of national, state, and county veteran service officers in claims development. Through 6 years of service, PVA has developed a unique expertise on a wide variety of issues involving the special needs of our members, veterans with spinal cord injury and dysfunction. One of the services PVA provides is assistance to veterans as they navigate the maze of rules and regulations associated with submitting claims for veterans' benefits and compensation. This is done through PVA's Veterans Benefits Department, which provides assistance and representation at no cost to veterans seeking health care and benefits. This assistance is offered through a network of 58 service offices located at VA medical centers and regional offices and 76 PVA-employed National Service Officers, or NSOs, many of whom are spinal cord injured. In 2005, our NSOs conducted more than 23,000 counseling sessions serving more than 20,000 paralyzed veterans and their families, provided assistance to over 12,000 more severely disabled veterans and their families and survivors, and conducted more than 15,000 visits to paralyzed veterans in hospitals and nursing homes, logging more than 206,000 road miles. There are many veteran service programs across the nation. VA sets requirements for organizations to be approved to provide assistance to veterans, and these regulations contain sufficient requirements for organizations to meet, but only if they actually comply with the regulations. If VA does not ensure requirements are met, then veterans may receive inadequate assistance. While PVA exceeds all VA requirements, variances in levels of training and competence of other veterans' representatives, including state and county veteran service officers, can be extreme. Training is the other key. PVA is concerned about accuracy in claims and emphasizes extensive training of our service officers while taking great pride in our rigorous training program. New service officers undergo a 16-month on-the-job training program. Each candidate is paired with an experienced NSO supervisor at a VA medical center or regional office. Throughout the training program, candidates take courses to improve medical knowledge as well as gain ever greater exposure to actual casework, learning relevant federal regulations, codes, and how to prepare a claim. The candidate must pass a series of quizzes and exams during the program, and to be certified as an NSO-2 must pass a comprehensive final exam. The NSO takes a more extensive exam after 18 months to be promoted to NSO-3, and after a second 18 months takes an exam to be promoted to senior NSO. We believe that our standardized training is a vital component to the success of this program. But NSO training does not end there. PVA conducts ongoing regional training as well as participation in VA training at the local level, permitting valuable interaction with VA claims processors. NSOs also complete the VA Training, Responsibility, Involvement, and Preparation Program, annual cybersecurity training, and 28 hours of annual National Service Officers Continuing Education Program training. PVA's NSO program assigns NSOs to VA medical centers with spinal cord injury centers, then to areas with a high population of our members or other veterans. This system is most effective because it is maintained and supervised at the national level, which provides important uniformity and speedy dissemination of vital information. PVA does not limit our training. If requested, we will provide training to other local, state, and county veteran service officers in any field that the office believes they may need. This provides information and ensures a level of consistency with claims preparation. Even with training, other challenges face veterans as they weave their way through the maze of claims preparation. One challenge is that many county service officers are political appointees, often required to justify their existence and their budgets by the number of claims filed. PVA believes many of these claims are submitted without regard to merit. This clogs the VA system and may discredit claims coming from those offices. This is such a concern that in May 2006, a commitment was made by PVA, the American Legion, Disabled American Veterans, and AMVETS to support training for state and county VSOs. This would go a long way to increase the professionalism and consistency of claims preparation and would be a tremendous service to those veterans who have served their nation so well. Another challenge is a lack of appeals representation at the national level for county and state VSOs, which hinders a claimant's opportunity to succeed at the appellate level. Because of the significant number of errors in VA claims, this can create an almost insurmountable roadblock to a veteran's claim being granted. Thousands of American veterans benefit every day from the programs provided by veteran service organizations. The critical requirement is training. Without an adequate level of initial training, follow-up training, and appropriate oversight and accreditation of VSOs by VA, a valuable service for veterans can potentially cause more delay rather than shorten the time needed for claims processing. PVA would like to thank you again for the opportunity to testify, and we would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
I thank you all very much for your testimony. I have some questions, but I will submit them for the record in view of the time that we have, and I would yield to our ranking member, Ms. Berkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your courtesy. I know that many people are going to the ceremony commemorating the 75th anniversary of the Veterans Administration, which starts in a few minutes. So I'll try to be very brief, but I do have three questions. The committee has received a report of at least one county veteran service officer who refers claims to attorneys and agents who agree to represent the veteran without charge, obviously, but who then solicits gifts from the veterans who are awarded benefits. And I'd like Mr. Chairman to submit for the record a memo of gift that I have in my possession that a veteran has signed, giving $16,000 to an attorney for having handled his case, although it's not called a fee, it's a gift. Can you comment on this practice? And is this, I don't know if this is an isolated incident, it's one person in Nebraska, whether this is widespread, whether you've heard rumors of it, but can you tell me if this is something that you've heard of before, and what ethical rules govern county service officers, and anybody and everyone could answer this.
Prior to the witnesses answering, are you asking this be entered into the record?
Yes, sir.
Any objection? Without objection, so ordered. The witnesses may answer the question.
I would like to first take a stab at this as I represent the county veteran service officers. This just came to our attention last month in Reno, and we do not support this. We think the veterans deserve free representation from the county service officers and the service organizations in their counties and in their states. I understand there's a big push to get this through, to get it where that they can. And we are very opposed to that. We do not think veterans should have to pay. They've already paid their dues. Now we need to represent them with nothing, with no charge. And for county veteran service officers, we are opposed to this. And in my own state, we have people that have started this, and we were able to
shut them down. Do you think we need? Do you think this is something that the Veterans Service Officers Association can handle on their own without congressional interference?
Oh, absolutely not.
Really, is horrible.
We cannot handle this on our own because this group in Nebraska is going forward with it. it's going to have to be looked at on a national level. Lawyers should not come into the play with handling claims for veterans until we hit the appeals. Yeah. The veterans should have the opportunity to handle their claim on a local level. And when it goes to the appeals, absolutely. But up until then, I think the veteran can receive and should be able to receive the claims without cost.
I couldn't agree with you more. This was breathtaking when I read it and shameful, quite frankly. Let me, second question, according to Mr. Tate, Nevada, as I mentioned in my testimony as well, has only one service officer per for every 10,000 veterans. Is access to veteran service officers a problem in other areas of the country? What's your personal experience in your own states?
In North Carolina, it's not, and I can only, in dealing with our service officers across the state, we knew that Nevada had a large veteran population and very few, and I'm sure that's something that you're looking at to help put more money there for them to hire more service officers. But I don't think it's a – I'm not sure how many states are like yours, Tim. Do you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure none are. Quite with the population explosion in Nevada, particularly in my part of the state, it's almost unhandleable. And I was wondering how what it's like in your particular states.
Madam Chairman, Rocky McPherson from Florida. In our department, I have approximately almost 600 employees. About one-sixth of those, about 100 of those, are in the state veteran service officer business. I would note, though, for the record, I think it's important that even though there are 10,000 veterans per service officer, not every veteran requires had a service-connected injury mm-hmm. and requires work on submitting a claim. Matter of fact, the percentage of that is probably, I'd ask the VA for a number, but I would say it is 20% or less. And so that particular statistic needs to bear in mind the number of veterans in need of preparing claims rather than the total number.
Mr. Tate, would you like to comment? How are things in Nevada?
Madam Chair, Tim Tate, Nevada Office of Veteran Services. It's tough in Nevada with the six service officers that we pay. I would agree certainly with my director from Florida that not every one of those 10,000 need it, but I would also argue that if we don't have adequate representation of service officers out there and you can't get the word out and service as many of those 10,000, then you miss out on claims and the ability to get them the right care they need.
How many do you think how many service officers would it take in the state of Nevada to handle the load you have, since you have six?
Ma'am, the next legislative session, I'm going to be asking for an additional six to spread throughout the rural areas mostly. We have an unfortunate scenario where they have to travel 400 miles to see the nearest service officer, unheard of in other states, and yet for Nevadans, they don't think anything of it.
Okay. And one last question, if I may, knowing the shortness of time. Mr. Ortner, I reviewed your testimony, and it seemed in your testimony you said problems can arise when a veteran is represented by a county or state veteran service or officer that does not handle appeals to the board. How common is this problem, and what procedures exist, to your knowledge, to assure veterans with meritorious appeals that they will be represented on appeal to the board and the court?
I think the main issue is just the problem with the way the system is set up for their inability to actually just do the appellate process. I would ask to have the question submitted for the record so that I could take it to our Veterans Benefits Department that deals specifically with that sort of issue, to make sure that we can give you the most detail on exactly what would be the best process to remedy that.
I'd be, Mr. Chairman, may I submit that question?
So we submitted.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, witnesses.
Mr. Udall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just submit my statement for the record and not have any questions and submit any for the record from the witnesses. Thank you very much
to everybody here for their testimony today, and this panel is excused, and we have a second panel to come forward.
Oh,
As he comes forward, I will introduce him. Mr. Jack McCoy is Associate Deputy Undersecretary for Policy and Program Management at the Veterans Benefit Administration. He's accompanied today by Mr. Steve Simmons, Deputy Director of the Compensation and Pension Service. We appreciate you being here today. And Mr. McCoy, if you're ready, you may begin. If you would, check your microphone right in front of there. You go.
Sorry. Chairman Miller, Ranking Member Berkeley, and members of the subcommittee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today on the role of national, state, and county veteran service officers in the disability claims process. I am accompanied today by Mr. Steve Simmons, Deputy Director of the Compensation and Pension Service. Veteran service officers work in partnership with VA to assist veterans, their dependents, and their survivors in obtaining VA benefits to which they are entitled. Congress traditionally chartered veteran service organizations, but today that authority has been delegated to the Secretary of Veteran Affairs. VA currently recognizes 87 veteran service organizations, including 26 national organizations, 45 state organizations, and 5 territorial agencies, as well as 11 regional or local organizations. In order to be recognized by VA as a veteran service officer, an organization must have as its primary purpose a substantial service commitment to veterans. It must also be able to demonstrate this either by having a sizable organizational membership or by performing services for a sizable number of veterans. Recognizing a veteran service organization allows representatives of the organization to apply for accreditation to represent the interest of claimants in the processing of their benefits claims. A veteran service organization must file an application for accreditation with the Office of General Counsel for each person it desires to have accredited. The organization must certify that the applicant is of good character and reputation and has demonstrated an ability to represent claimants before VA has completed a course of training and an examination which has been approved by VA's regional counsel with jurisdiction for the state, understands and will respect the confidentiality of veterans' information, and will receive either regular supervision and monitoring or annual training to ensure continued qualification as a representative in the VA claims process. Veteran service officers and state-accredited representatives help claimants prepare claim forms and assemble relevant information and evidence for presentation to VA to substantiate claims. They personally contact veterans to expedite the gathering of necessary evidence, such as private medical records or employment background. Because of their knowledge of VA requirements and processes, they can ensure that their clients have the documentation needed before a claim is filed, which saves a great deal of time and effort in VA's processing of the claim. Their knowledge of the law helps ensure that claims submitted to VA meet the requirements for service connection or for the grant of the particular benefit sought, and all relevant evidence is submitted for consideration. As part of their responsibilities as representatives for veterans and dependents, veteran service organizations and state and local government veterans agencies participate in outreach and other activities that support the claims process by making veterans and dependents aware of changes in the law and other significant events that may impact their eligibility for benefits. These efforts complement those of the department and ensure that to the maximum extent possible, the veteran community is aware of changes in VA entitlements. They assist VA with claims development through their active role in the Benefits Delivery at Discharge program. The Benefits Delivery at Discharge program is a cooperative effort of both the VA and DOD, wherein VA personnel assist service members leaving military service obtain the VA benefits they earned. A number of our BDD operations are supported by the efforts of national, state, and county veteran service officers. The role of the veteran service officer in state and local government veteran agencies at a BDD site is complementary to that of Veteran Service Center personnel. They support VA efforts by sponsoring classes on how to complete VA claims forms, interviewing and assisting individual service members with filing claims for VA benefits, including reviewing their service medical records and obtaining proper documents needed for VA claims adjudication. In 1998, VBA began the Training, Responsibility, Involvement, and Preparation of Claims program, known as TRIP. Today, all 57 regional offices have successfully successfully provided trip instruction to Veteran Service Organizations representatives. TRIP includes extensive training and claims development that helps veteran service officers submit their fully developed claims so that VA can decide claims in a more timely manner. When a veteran service organization representative completes TRIP training and passes a VBA-administered examination, he or she is qualified to access VBA's electronic records of veterans from whom he or she has power of attorney. To date, 1,661 Veteran Service Organization representatives have completed and passed the TRIP training. And I would summarize, Mr. Chairman, by saying that I hope this testimony has demonstrated the important collaborative relationship between VBA and the national, state, and county service officers in VA's claim adjudication process. Mr. Chairman, this completes my statement. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. McCoy. I will submit my questions for the record. Ms. Berkley.
In light of the ceremony awaiting us, I will also submit two questions for review and answer. Thank you very much.
Mr. Udall.
I would do the same. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. So, and thank you for waiting, Mr. McCoy. Obviously, we're trying to make the ceremony in the rotunda, and I think it's safe to say that in the end, we all want the same thing. We want the system to work for those who are injured in service to our country. The experience and dedication exhibited by state, county, and national service officers needs to be harnessed, thus bringing true meaning to the VA service office partnership. And without objection, statements from Mr. James Dorn of AMVETS, Mr. Dennis Cullinan of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and Mr. George Basher of the New York Department of Veterans Affairs will be entered into the record. Members will have 5 legislative days to submit material for the record, as well as post-hearing questions to the witnesses. With nothing further, this hearing is adjourned.